I'm Bob McIntyre, news director at Moose FM, and joining me today for something that we hope to do regularly during the COVID-19 pandemic is Dr. Leanne Catton. She's the medical officer of health for the Porcupine Health Unit. Thank you for joining us, doctor.
You're very welcome, Bob. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I think it's a great option for getting the information out there more regularly and to a broader audience, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's kind of what we do here at the Moose, and we're glad to help. Now, first of all, we can encourage listeners to let us know if they have any questions for future editions, because we are going to be doing this regularly. But let's go through a list of questions we have for today. Now, in about just over a week, the health unit area, and that's what, Matheson to Hurst and Horn Payne and right up to the James Bay coast, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, in a little over a week, that area has gone from no cases to six. Now, we know that one of them is in Cochrane, the other five are in Timmins. Can we talk briefly about them and what we can expect?
Definitely. Thank you. I think we knew that that we were going to be faced with COVID-19 cases, and we did expect that we would get some. We've been preparing for this as a health unit with ministry and provincial and regional partners, as well as with local partners across all our communities. And so we did expect it. We were prepared for it, and we are prepared for more, as unfortunately we do expect to see more COVID-19 cases across the district, as we are seeing across Ontario and Canada. We continue to follow up regularly with the six cases, as well as with all the close contacts that were identified as per the public health protocols and guidelines for follow-up of COVID-19 positive cases.
It's kind of a needle in a haystack, but you are checking anyone who might have come into contact with these people or alerting others if it's involved with travel. Am I right on that?
I'm sorry, Bob. I couldn't hear. It was a bit fuzzy.
Oh, okay. We'll try it again then. We know that it's kind of a needle in a haystack trying to contact everyone that might have been in contact with one of these six people, but you're really looking for anyone who's been in contact. Is that correct?
Well, we look for close contact. So when we talk about close contact, when you hear the recommendations and the follow-up with respect to flights, for instance, they've not followed up with necessarily the entire flight, even on long international flights. They've looked at two rows ahead and two rows behind, and that's due to the nature of the transmission of COVID-19, as well as the fact that there needs to be a bit longer term and closer contact with a case in order to identify as a close contact. So we need everyone to act and follow all the public health measures that we continually promote in the ministry and the Public Health Agency of Canada and the Chief MOH office continue to promote of socially distancing and staying home and all these measures, because we want everyone to assume that there's potential contact and there's potential cases. So we follow up with the close contacts that have had that closer contact and more prolonged exposure.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Now, there are a lot of concerns about testing and how quickly it's happening in our area. What do you have to say about that?
Well, at this point in time, Ontario and the Ministry of Health, as well as Public Health Ontario, have been working extremely hard to support and guide our COVID-19 response as a public health system and as an acute health system. And locally, public health, we're really grateful for their support and the tremendous work that they've done in supporting all of us with testing. Until just recently, all the testing was done by the Public Health Ontario lab in Toronto, and was initially also then referred to the Winnipeg National Microbiology Lab. So at this point in time, we are fortunate that the Public Health Ontario Lab is doing the testing, and they are working on increasing capacity. So at this point in time, and for the last little while, they've been working to increase their own capacity to try and reduce any potential wait times as much as possible. In addition, they're looking at relocating and increasing capacity across the system by having other labs develop and have the capacity for testing. And so we're hoping, we've heard word, that there should be testing available through our Timmins Public Health Lab. Now, this means you still go through public health and primary care in order to be assessed at the assessment center to determine if testing will be done. It's not to go to the lab for testing. I want to clarify that. It's simply that we will have the laboratory capacity available locally, more locally, either here and or in Sudbury, in order to increase testing capacity and thus decrease wait times as well, because transportation of tests is also something that, the North struggles with and is a challenge as opposed to in southern Ontario.
Now, we know there's an assessment center in Timmins. What about, you know, and that makes sense because Timmins is the largest population in your area, but what about people who live in other parts of the Porcupine Health Unit area who may need testing? Where are they sent?
So at this point in time, individuals, we've been very fortunate to have great community partnerships with local healthcare providers, local hospitals in all of our communities, as well as the community paramedicine program through the Cochrane District DSAP. So at this time, we've seen testing occur across the district, either at acute health care centers if someone was unwell and needed to go in, and also through our referral and assessment from the public health, from our Porcupine Health Unit information line, where we work through with individuals and do an assessment and determine if testing is appropriate. And then we've also been able to refer to the Cochrane District Community Paramedicine Program for them to go into the house with all of the appropriate precautions and measures in place and do the appropriate testing at that time. So that has been occurring. There's also discussions in each of the communities around and planning for assessment centers, which may look different from community to community. And as that is further clarified and developed and implemented, we will all be sharing that information as well.
We've heard a lot about social distancing, but the last few days it's been changing terms to physical distancing. Why is that?
Yes. So the idea around social distancing is very similar to physical distancing. The main point is that we want people to remain 2 meters apart. So when you're out in public, for those essential workers that have to work, when people are doing essential errands, because they are not self-isolating, because if they are self-isolating, we know they're staying home as per our recommendations. But if they are well and able to be out, that we ask them to be 2 meters apart. The shift in the term from social distancing to physical distancing was really to recognize that we didn't really want people to shut themselves off from social interaction. It was a recognition that now more than ever, it's really important for all community members to remain socially connected, but physically apart. And so that distinction is important because we want to make sure that individuals are still connected and contacting others and their loved ones, whether it's through phone, text, or video, or other innovative methods, but still remaining that physical distance and maintaining that physical distancing recommendation.
On social media, we're starting to see photographs of people having driveway parties or neighborhood parties where they stay in their own yards. Do you recommend anything like that, even when we're trying to keep physical distance and maybe even self-isolation?
I think we need to be really, really cautious with any type of contact at this point in time. We're hearing a lot of individuals having concern around people who have traveled internationally within the last 14 days. And anyone who's traveled in the last 14 days needs to self-isolate. So this means no social contact, even from the driveway. This means not going to the corner store, not stopping for milk or gas or groceries. This really means staying at home. If an individual in self-isolation, either because of travel or because they've been asked to self-isolate, because they've been named as a close contact, or because they're an actual case, we don't want them out at all. Now, opening your back door when you've got your backyard empty and there's nobody around to get a breath of fresh air is something that could be reasonable, but I wouldn't recommend any type of social interaction for individuals who have been advised to self-isolate.
Let's wrap up this session with the advice that we've been hearing so much of, but it bears repeating, about keeping your distance and washing your hands.
Thank you, Bob. I think we can't emphasize it enough right now. We know that our cases so far have been travel-related, but we need every single individual in every community across the PHU to do their part. And we know many are, and we truly appreciate it because it will make a difference. We're asking and advising, and now, as per the Quarantine Act for travelers, it is a must for individuals to stay home. If you have traveled outside of Canada, please self-isolate for 14 days upon your arrival home. This means going nowhere. Call for help. Call for assistance. There are communities, public health. We will support individuals to self-isolate in any way possible, but please stay home. Should you have any symptoms, follow up immediately with the Porcupine Health Unit or your primary care provider, and we'll provide further guidance on the next steps going forward. For everyone else, if you are unwell in any way, whether you've had contact with a case, whether you have had travel or not, please stay home. We cannot risk exposures for others. And so we are asking everyone's support with this. We're asking workplaces to be working to enforce and support workers to stay home, to physically distance within the workplace if you are required to go into work. We're asking absolutely everyone to wash your hands as much as possible, wash them well, wash them often, cough into a sleeve or a tissue and discard it immediately. Don't share drinks or anything, other personal items with individuals. Just stay home and stay well. And we'd like to thank everyone for their cooperation. We know this is a difficult time. It is a challenging time, and there's lots of concern, and we appreciate that. And I think if we all continue to work together, we will get through this. But we need everyone at this point. Everyone is essential in this response.
I've been washing my hands so often lately and taking the advice that if you sing happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands, that's long enough. I haven't sung happy birthday as much in my entire life.
That's a good thing, Bob.
Dr. Leanne Catton, the Medical Officer of Health from the Porcupine Health Unit, thank you so much for doing this, and we look forward to touching base with you again really soon. I understand we will probably be doing this again on Monday.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Bob, and take care.
Thank you. Have a good day. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too, and everyone else. Bye-bye.